touched at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe is on the hearts and the tongues and the minds of every individual in America and even around the world if we would examine it. And it's an issue that we're going to boil out and look down the pike and see what God is saying in relationship to that. Leadership counts. I'm talking about political leadership and spiritual leadership. Leadership counts. Let me say this at the outset. I've said this for many, many years, less than 100 years, but for many years now. There's not a nation on the face of the globe that will be any greater, will grow any higher, morally, ethically, spiritually, biblically, or politically, than its leaders. A nation will mirror the leadership of political and spiritual leaders. This is needed today, perhaps more than anything else that we recognize. We're seeing that playing out in California. We're watching it playing out today with Governor Newsom in California, Bass, the mayor of L.A., and the statewide fire commissioner, or whatever you would call her, the one that's in charge of it, with what they've done and what they've not done. We will witness what we call leadership failures when we analyze what has taken place in the past 4 years with President Joe Biden. We'll look at what is called leadership strengths as we look in the scripture and see the Bible giving us the narrative of wicked leadership, weak leadership, and strong leadership. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I believe it was Barack Obama that told incoming president at the time, elections count. And he was exactly right. Of course, he was thinking of it with a hawkish mindset, but he was exactly right. Elections count. And we're witnessing today what I'm saying, it will be a tectonic change in our leadership in America in 1 week. It's about 7 days. We'll have the inauguration of President John D. What's his name? Trump. We're looking forward to President Trump's inauguration and his going into office, and it's going to make a vast difference. But we can't place our hope and trust in man and man alone. Psalms 146, verse 3, reminds us of that. We cannot place our faith and trust and hope in man alone. Our trust and our hope must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of who goes in office, regardless of how deep we might plummet morally and ethically and biblically with the different leadership across the nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the issues and we face them each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In the Truth Book, God's Word, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made in the word of God about the Bible. "Thy word is truth." And in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And may I say to you, that is the truth that we need to cling to, hold on to. And we need to look at everything that's taking place on a local, statewide, national, and international platform. We need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? How should we respond? I go back to Ezekiel's word in Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live? When we see what's happening, when we listen to the political arena, when we listen to what is taking place morally and ethically and spiritually, we need to ask that question, how should we then live? I think the answer to that is very succinct and very simple. We need to live by the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, and his dystopian novel entitled 1984, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that is not just philosophical rhetoric. It is factual evidence, ladies and gentlemen. We see that taking place today, especially in the political arena. We see that taking place today, especially when it comes to cause and effect, as we see in California with the wildfires. We see that today, especially when we look at Joe Biden and his ineptness, his inability, his evil heart that's promulgated and pushed and focused on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the transgenderism, the butchering of healthy body parts of young men and young women, and the push to murder human beings in the mother's womb and even up to and the time of birth. That's a little quick narrative overview of what we're dealing with in the relationship to the end result of pitiful, wicked, evil leadership. We need to understand that we need to go back to truth. What is truth? What does it mean? What is truth? In fact, I find it's very fascinating in an article about younger Americans saying there's no such thing as absolute truth. Headline, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." The article begins in this fashion. Webster's Dictionary says that truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact. But that same group, the millennials, say rather than absolute truth, there's the philosophy that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that has never worked and it shall never work. Truth is truth. You can't bifurcate it. You can't take a half-truth and make it truth. A half-truth is a whole lie, as I've said so many times on this broadcast. We need to stand for truth, speak for truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. As we talk about issues, as we talk about spiritual issues, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, as we talk about political issues, they all fit very neatly into the capitalization of what the Word of God says. Keep in mind, and I remind you of this oft times on this broadcast, God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and God created in that order. Lest we forget it, let me remind us that God created government, civil government, as the servant of God, as God's servant. Anytime civil government goes outside the realm of doing that which is biblical or that which is unconstitutional, when they get outside of those two realms, ladies and gentlemen, they cease to be servants of God. And we're finding today, across the nation, a governmental mindset that's out of control, especially in the blue cities, the blue states. We call them blue. I don't know why that's the term, but that's what it's always been called. Those that are loose, lax, lost liberals, those that are dominated and controlled by the socialist, Marxist, communist party called the Democrats. But I believe we need to get back to standing for truth, seeking the truth, listening to the truth, and defending the truth, even to death. Jan Hus, ladies and gentlemen, further said, "Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is truth." That's the position that we ought to take as we wade through issues that we're faced with. And listen, in the next 7 days and beyond, we're going to find major, in my opinion, major mega things that will take place. And there will be some that will say that what you say and I say as conservative Christians and patriots will be accused of disinformation and misinformation. By the way, I'm delighted to see the reverse of mindset supposedly by Zuckerberg, the owner of Meta, I believe it's called, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, where he says openly that under the Biden administration, the Biden leadership would call him, demand things to be done and said, and will curse at him, his words not mine, and demand that they, the social media platforms, cancel what they call, the government call misinformation and disinformation, and not allow the general public to know the truth. Zuckerberg is not admitting that. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Tools for Time has a 165-foot flagpole on its campus, and at the top of that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flag in the flagpole base of the flagpole, and you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me today in the studio Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is professor of theology and Bible in Conservative Theological University. We're looking forward to what he will be able to discuss with us about leadership. We're going to be focusing on political leadership and spiritual leadership. And why there's a need today in America more than any other time, I believe, in the history of our nation to have leadership, proper leadership, leadership that obeys holy God. Ladies and gentlemen, it should come as no surprise to you or to me or anybody else. It should come as no surprise to all of the citizens in America and in the state of California, as they are now, speaking of the leadership, listen, the people in California, the citizens, the patriots, the conservatives, as well as some of the loose, lax, lost liberals in the political arena in California, are demanding that the governor and the L.A. mayor and the fire chief resign over the loss of about 40,000 acres of land. So far, they've had a total loss of about 15,000 buildings, including homes, and the loss of about 24 lives up until this very moment. Several still missing. Not counting the economic cost of about, I believe they projected, the media, don't know where it's coming from, how they've calculated it, but they're projecting somewhere in the neighborhood of $160 to $200 billion in financial loss. So just how did these huge losses occur? In fact, I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. L.A. mayor cuts fire department funding, but gave cash to the transgender cafeteria. Let me read that headline again. L.A. mayor cut fire department funding, but gave cash to the transgender cafeteria. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, a Democrat, cut more than $17 million from the fire department's budget, but allocated tens of thousands of dollars for social art for a transgender cafe. Further, the article says, is Gavin Newsom responsible for the apocalyptic fires in L.A.? Representative Kelly Riley, Republican California, blasted Mayor Bass as well as Governor Gavin Newsom, accusing government of failing the citizens of California. Just seeing these scenes of absolute total destruction, these apocalyptic scenes, I mean, it is shocking. It's surreal, the congressman said in his Newsmax show. Kelly and California, and said California needs to get back to basics, manage our forest, store our water, maintain our grid, build our roads, fund our police and fire departments, and do things government is supposed to do. Do them well, and do nothing else. I just made a little footnote on this article. Leadership determines the condition of society. Leadership determines the condition of society. Dr. Phelps, let me just interject this for a moment. Without getting into the nitty-gritty of biblical leadership and some of the things we find there, which we'll do in a moment. But when I talk about the need for political leadership and spiritual leadership and the necessity of that for a nation, explain that to our listeners.
We believe that leadership in our nation, or for a business, or for an organization, or whatever, requires that we have people who will receive and implement wise counsel from those who are about them.
Yes.
We need wisdom. We need insight. We need foresight. And unless we have good counsel and we listen to the right persons and source, then we will not show, or we will not exhibit those traits. And it should be for the good of the nation, for the good of the people, and not for the good of the leader himself, and not for just for a party, or not just for a few, but for the whole. We need to be concerned about the people of America. A good leader then will seek to act in wisdom in making decisions, policies, and in practice.
In other words, a good leader, when we look at it from the spiritual position and the political position, a good leader is going to, number one, make wise decisions, as you said. Secondly, a good leader, especially in the political realm, will make a decision for leadership not based on what's going to be best for that political leader or for that leader's party, but for the people in general.
Right.
Is that correct?
Amen. Things go well for a nation when there's good leadership. And we need to seek to install those people who will have those traits and who will be mindful of these things.
Absolutely. That goes back to the ballot box, and we've done that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful for the fact that the overwhelming majority of the populist vote went to Donald J. Trump. I'm thankful that the Electoral College vote went to Donald J. Trump, and I'm thankful for what is on the horizon for the potentiality of making some tectonic changes that's so vitally needed in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what is taking place in California, that's a very, very, in my opinion, a very, very good example of poor leadership. We find for the state of California, there's been a mindset on the woke culture. There's been a mindset totally focused on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. There's been a mindset that's totally focused on destroying the church, the morals, ethics, and the values of the Christians in the state of California, and the focus on embracing the sodomite leadership and the leadership role. I'm looking at the headline that says, "Never Enough Diversity." Watch, that's a video attached to this article, watch as the LA Fire Department spent years pushing the super woke policies. Leadership, this article says, leadership cannot accomplish any of the racial equity and inclusion goals without the employees to accomplish the work and embrace the vision. Christine Crowley, LGBTQ activist and fire chief of Los Angeles Fire Department. The fire department committed significant resources to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives before the outbreak of the massive fires that devastated the Los Angeles area overnight and going into its second week now. The LAFD has implemented an internal racial equity plan, subjected employees to diversity training, is currently led by Chief Karen Crowley, the first female LGBTQ fire chief in the LAFD, and staunch supporter of the initiatives. As strong winds fed the wildfires on Tuesday evening, former Republican Los Angeles mayoral candidate Rick Castro Caruso reported that some fire hydrants were running low of water and the department scrambled to mobilize firefighters. The department's racial equity plan, adopted in 2021, asserts that the LAFD is a better firefighting organization for focusing on the demographic characteristics of its personnel. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think it's a good fire department? Do you think it's been a good fire chief's decisions and governor and mayor's decisions in California to leave entire huge millions of gallons of water reservoirs empty, where in some communities they found that the fire hydrants, the fire lines that the police, the fire department would hook up to were dry lines because they had no resource of water, because the decision was made years ago that we're going to save the fish. A little small teeny melt, M-E-L-T, fish, I believe it's called. About 2 inches long, a transparent body with the black eyes showing in the fish. Since 2015, they have located and preserved five of these fish. And they had rather save the five fish than the billions of dollars in property and the hundreds of thousands of acres of land and the billions of dollars in lost revenue for the people. Is that good leadership? I say it's not. I say it's time we recognize that there's a need for a major transition and change in leadership, not just in California, but in the Oval Office. We've done that now by the vote. We're going to talk about in a few moments some of the moral, ethical, political failures of the Biden administration and what we're hoping to see change under the leadership of President Trump as he goes into office. I believe we have Blake Harper, that is, on the line with us. Blake, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
First of all, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, for the work you're doing for the image and the leadership you provide in the conservative community. People need to understand and how they've forgotten that this nation was born out of the scriptures. And when the Supreme Court decided to delink that, it started us on this spiral, downward spiral, and it's becoming ever faster. And we need to stand up to it. We need to stand up against it. And we have to do that here in Jacksonville. First of all, thank you for letting me come on at the last minute like this. There is, down at City Council, an ordinance. It's mislabeled as a disruption ordinance. It's number 871, 2024-871. And when you hear how the council president, who was put in the position of having to sponsor this just by the organizational structure of City Council, when you hear how it's turned out, it is very clear what's happening, and that is an attempt to silence our free speech. Now, there's a narrative out there, and from the standpoint of stopping 871, and that it is not a matter of free speech, but the reality is that it is. Again, so what if Rules Committee last week, Randy White, who's a city council president, said that he wanted to, his interest was to protect the safety and deal with behavior. And so the first thing they did was deal with signs, because the Hamas sympathizers were bringing in signs that blocked the line of sight for security officers. Then they went and added the snapping of fingers, because that was a disruptive behavior. And then the Office of General Counsel came back and decided they want to try to get restrictions on speaking about political candidates. political parties and statewide ballot initiatives. So that third and last item is what creates a very bad piece of legislation. In that same rules committee, city councilman Nick Howland, who's the chair of rules, said that he would put up an amendment to remove item number one. See, item number one is the offending item, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to shut down speech about political candidates and parties and statewide ballot initiatives, and they're doing it by linking it to doing something that needs to be done. It's a very, very bad, outcome if it stays this way, and we need to get people down to city council tomorrow night. Meeting starts at 5 o'clock, and we need to get them to public comment to tell them to fix this ordinance 871 or kill it. It's the bottom line: fix it or kill it. It's absolutely amazing to think that there would be any consideration of infringing on our First Amendment rights, but that's what this third item, which is actually in the list of the requested changes, is actually number one. And Nick Howland is 100% correct. We need to get rid of that. And if we can't get rid of it, we need to kill 871. That's the bottom line. It's better to have people with too big of a sign than to not be able to speak when they're invited to come down and share their concerns. This is the other part of it is, and we can talk more about this, but Eric Friday, who is I'm going to use this word, litigating. In other words, he sues. He sues governments that overreach on First Amendment and Second Amendment issues. He's driven in terms of principle to do that. Okay, so he came down at Rules Committee and he explained to them that the shenanigans that they're trying, and those are my words, what they're trying to do is a misrepresentation and a misapplication of state statute. So we need people to come down. Yes, sir.
Blake, you're exactly right. In fact, it goes even further than that. And the UK at this very moment, you cannot publicly say anything about the Islamic jihadist. You cannot publish or write or print or on radio or television say anything against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, or you will be persecuted, prosecuted, and fined and or put in jail. We're on the fast track for that, and I believe our listeners need to understand it is a danger. In fact, my opinion is that bill needs to be canceled. It ought not to go into effect. Here's the problem, Blake. I believe that you see this, and many of our listeners may or may not see it. Once a piece of legislation is passed, then the legalese, the rules and regulations for enforcing that legislation, drawn up by bureaucrats in smoke-filled rooms that's not elected by the people, that they're faceless and they're never seen, and then those rules and regulations can be tweaked from time to time. Once we pass something like this, it's the slippery slope of absolutely nullifying, totally canceling our First Amendment rights for divorce. Ball County. It is a very dangerous bill. It's a very dangerous possibility. And our listeners need to understand, as you've said, tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock at the city council meeting, go there in numbers. And between time, my opinion, Blake, needs to call, text, email all of the city councilmen for each one city councilman in that district and let them know that elections speak out and elections are coming up. And if we have these leaders that are going to vote for this kind of legislation, they need to be voted out of office summarily. We need to understand the danger. Go ahead.
Can I respond to that? First of all, I want to address one thing, because I heard somebody who you and I both know and respect basically said, let them make a bad law and they'll settle it in court. I won't tell you that person's name. I won't embarrass that person. But the reality is, when a bad law is made, it takes individuals to spend their time and their money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to go through the extended legal process to fix a bad law. The purpose of a law is to do the right thing, and we know what the right thing is. Sir?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Our
email address?
Our time is up, Blake. Again, okay. tell, tell our people again, it's Bill 2024-871, and you need to be right there. Our people need to be there in numbers and say no, no, no to 871. We need to simply say no, we do not want to pass any infringement on our First Amendment rights. Blake, thank you so much for your call. Keep praying and asking God to give us wisdom and strength as we stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park.